There we are, 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Time for American Hit Radio.
We got to turn off our cell phones.
It's all right. I got people calling me. They don't know I'm on the air right now.
Come on.
Come on. Somebody does, because you tuned in right now. Thank you for being here with Heidi and I right now. This is Tom Ryan, my lovely wife, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well. We're together with you for the next hour, if you can hang in there. What we're going to do, of course, what we always do on Wednesdays, we're picking an album. We've been working our way through a list since that started in January 1964. I feel like we started doing this in January 1964. It's been so long that we've been working our way through these lists of albums. We've got two simultaneous things that we're doing. One is counting our way through the top 500 of the top 40, playing albums in chronological order from 1964 until the present. And the other list is the alternative top 40, another list of 500 albums that never did make the top 40, also counting them from January until the present. These are our choices, our favorites, but the numbers that we use, this seems to confuse people, I've noticed, especially on our website. When I say that it's album number, in this instance, album number 109, it doesn't mean I'm rating it at 109 from 500 to 1 on quality. No, it's simply a timeline. So in chronological order, this is album number 109, starting in January of 1964, which is to say we've done 108 of them already from January, and now we are up to October of 1970. And this is an album very much so from the top 500 of the top 40, because it's an album that reached number one here in the United States. It is the third album by Led Zeppelin, simply titled Led Zeppelin III. When it came out, and this is what such an incredibly anticipated album, which has a lot to do with why it went to number one. The first two albums made a huge splash here in America. Maybe not critically. The critics weren't in love with the band, but the public absolutely was. And this was really, from the inception until the release of this album, Led Zeppelin were rightly seen as a bombastic heavy blues-based band, the one-trick ponies, really, who did an awesome job of cranking up blues songs, but without much to show in the way of diversity. Probably one of the reasons why the critics were harping on them a little bit. Led Zeppelin III changed that perception quite handily, introducing folk music into the repertoire, acoustic songs, which they also cranked up, but not as drastically. The change happened organically for the band. With their first album, they had something to prove, right? It's their first album. So they leaned heavily into the music to make their point. Well, the second album, Led Zeppelin II, was recorded in bits and pieces while they were on the road, which is like a manic time to try to make music when you're on the road. Everything's nuts when you're on the road. So that obviously resulted in music that reflected that energy. Now, for Led Zeppelin III, the band just craved some peace. So Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, decided to retreat to the English countryside, a place that Robert Plant used to go when he was a child. In a small village, there was a house, an ancient mansion called Brownier Yore. And the two of them would stay there, and they started to write songs in this bucolic environment. So they're here, they're living in the countryside in this house, which, by the way, had no electricity or running water. And then, when they felt that they were ready, they called up the other band members, John Paul Jones and John Bonham, and they moved to another mansion called Headley Grange. And there they brought in the Rolling Stones mobile recording unit and started making the album. So the circumstances and the atmosphere that they were in encouraged them to play more in an acoustic style, although they certainly didn't abandon their innate power. The album had fewer hits, but received a little bit less airplay than the first two, but it did still go to number one because of that anticipation I was talking about. Simply, you know, but over time, it now stands up at least as well as its louder predecessors. Now, that being said, the first track off of the album totally runs contradictory to what I just said. It's total in-your-face Led Zeppelin. It's the song that got the most airplay, probably for that exact reason. I'm sure you know it. It's called Immigrant Song on 90.3 WHPC.
Hello.
Sorry about that. That is Immigrant Song, the first track, the lead-off track on Led Zeppelin III. It was also a single for the band. I guess that has all to do with its short length. And let's see, Immigrant Song. It actually went up to number 16 on the pop charts. People don't acknowledge that Led Zeppelin had pop hits, but you know, A Whole Lot of Love was top five. It went to number four. Immigrant Song was number 16, and they'd have another top 20 hit with Black Dog off of their next album. But that track, Immigrant Song, at under 2.5 minutes, which is why I was caught off guard, actually, is actually a song about the Viking invasions of England. Apparently, the band had gone on a tour to Iceland, and it basically... We're impressed. So, you know, with coming from the land of the ice and the snow and all that, there you go. That was more or less what was inspiring Page and Plant to write that song. But the mood of the album changes very quickly on the next track. And I think I'll let it speak for itself. This is an acoustic number that has Jimmy Page now playing on acoustic guitar, which he didn't do very much of on the first two albums. I mean, songs would break down. There was a couple of them, but they would always have these, you know, the acoustic sections were not, what's the word, permanent. So here you'll find that they basically, like, you know, are able to do it. Well, what's amazing is that they can play quietly, and yet Robert Plant, the vocalist, is still able to convey the incredible power of his voice. The first track then, this is called, we'll play two back to back because I believe they segue. That we'll start with this track called Friends on 90.3 WHBC.
Thank you. face is cracked from smiling. All the fears that she's been hiding. And it seems that pretty soon everybody's gonna know.
Right, back-to-back tracks you hear there with a little synthesizer segue to tie them together. Started with a song called Friends. That's one of the acoustic tracks that Page and Plant had written while at Boney Hour. The track we just heard is called Celebration Day. And as much as that sounds like it is a Page and Plant track, and they do take credit on the songwriting, the principal writer was John Paul Jones for that track. Now, this is the album where he really stepped up, by the way. There wasn't as much attention given to John Paul Jones, at least in generally speaking, because everybody was just absolutely floored by hearing Jimmy Page's guitar and the incredible voice of Robert Plant, not to mention, of course, the bombastic sound of John Bonham. Those three things are just so incredibly overwhelming that poor John Paul Jones seemed to be pushed into the background. In some ways, he still is. I mean, even the band, when they were reuniting, he wasn't even part of it for a while. But on this album, he's so crucial to the sound. Listen to what he plays throughout this record. This is his credits for the instruments that he's responsible for. Bass, of course, that's his main role. But Hammond organ, Moog synthesizer, as we heard there, mandolin, double bass, string arrangements. He even does the string arrangements. So he's bringing a lot to the table on this record. Now, up until this point, I said, for the most part, if you went to see Led Zeppelin live around this time, you'd really just see this an endless series of incredibly loud and rocking blues numbers. And they felt that this album still needed at least one of them. So they did put out, you know, basically a new blues track on this. And this is something that became a staple for the band. Well, even while they were dropping some of the material on their later shows, this track called Since I've Been Loving You pretty much stayed with the band right up till the end. It was like an important part of their show, but really one of the main showcases for Jimmy Page. And that's saying something, because just about every Led Zeppelin track is a Jimmy Page showcase. But this is a central point of the album, with Led Zeppelin sounding very much like they did on previous albums. It's called Since I've Been Loving You. Again, though, written by John Paul Jones with Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. The three of them have credit on this together on 90.3 WHPC.
I'm about to lose.
it felt like rain. Don't you hear the, don't you hear the ball?
Ain't that a band? Wow, Led Zeppelin, of course, from the album Led Zeppelin 3, Since I've Been Loving You, on 90.3 WHPC. Working our way through the album. And, you know, I'm thinking about, while that track is playing, I'm thinking about how influential it was on young minds here in America when it was happening. It's sort of hard to believe, or maybe we're in denial, but back in 1970, a lot of American kids just really didn't know much about the blues at all. It was the British bands that were turning us onto it little by little. You know, we'd go through this, and there's tracks on the album that aren't written by Led Zeppelin. We're getting to a couple of them. And yet, at the time, we would have never, like, for example, when we get to Gallows Pole, I should be talking about it then, not now. But since I brought it up, I mean, I didn't know who Lead Belly was in 1970.
Right.
You know, I had no idea. So when I hear Gallows Pole, which just like, you know, like when they did When, you know, When the Levee Breaks, it's the same thing. I didn't know the original versions of these songs. But over time, they maybe decades in some cases, you know, where these things became known to us, maybe in the late 70s, or for me, in some cases, some of the stuff I learned in the 70s and the 80s, and you start to put it together, and it becomes like an education. It's like, oh my God, my poor young brain, all that stuff came to me filtered through Led Zeppelin's versions of it. It's rather remarkable, and I still think that that has a lot to do with the way that we all grew up in terms of like the music that we appreciate, because we didn't know the original things very well. It was Page and Plant and Jones and Bonham in their own crazy way, reinterpreting it, thrusting it back at us, that gave us that, you know, rather cracked lens version of history. Here's the track that ended side one. Actually, again, principal songwriter on this one, this is unusual, John Bonham gets principal songwriting credit for this song called Out on the Tiles on 90.3 WHPC.
Sunshine!
a song where the drummer was coming up with the riffs and then they were adapted by Jimmy Page. That's side one of Led Zeppelin III. But this is an album that doesn't let up. Side two is just as interesting. Now, I mentioned before, I was talking about the song Gallows Pole and how Led Zeppelin was like, you know, more or less digging freely through American culture and, you know, basically putting out these songs. And I'm sure that most people would have believed at the time that it was a Page Plant composition. I found out myself many years later that it was something that was recorded by Lead Belly way back in the 30s. But that's not even where Jimmy Page heard it. Jimmy Page first heard it, apparently, by a musician who was popular, like a folk musician from around, I think it was like the mid to late 50s, whose name was Fred Gerlach. Gerlach is known as a 12-string guitar player before anybody knew what a 12-string guitar player really was. It's funny to think what the things that we didn't know. But you'd get a guy like Blind Willie McTell, who was a 12-string player, but nobody in regular music society, which is to say, quote unquote, white people, to be honest, you know, the pop culture folks, didn't really know who Blind Willie McTell was, so they weren't listening. So when Fred Gerlach would go shopping to look for a 12-string guitar, he'd go to like some of the best, finest music shops in New York City, and he was told point blank, there's no such thing. And he searched for years to see if he could find a 12-string guitar. Eventually, he ended up becoming a builder of 12-string guitars because he couldn't find them. He was making his own. And he had recorded a version of Gallows Pole, which I would imagine has something to do with that he might have been inspired by hearing Lead Belly's version. I'm not certain of that, but that is certainly a version that predated his. And because of his association with the folk scene, people like Pete Seeger and stuff, he recorded an album which was called 12-String Guitar. And Jimmy Page, as a student of guitar when he was younger, picked it up. So knew it from childhood. So this is just one of the songs that stuck in Jimmy Page's head, and this is the perfect opportunity for him to introduce it on an album where the band is beginning to play more acoustic instruments. So here is Led Zeppelin's version of Gallows Pole on 90.3 WHPC.
See my friends coming, riding many a mile. Friends, you get some silver, you get a little gold. What did you bring me, my dear friends? Keep me from the gallows pole. What did you bring me? Keep me from the gallows pole. Silver, I couldn't get no gold. You know that we're too damn poor from the gallows pole. Hangman, hangman, hold it a little while. I think I see my brother coming riding many a mile. Brother, you give me some silver. As you get a little gold, I want to you bring me my brother, keep me from the gallows pole. Brother, I hold you till I'm still away, yeah. I hold a little gold, I put a little of everything, keep me from the gallows pole. Yes, I've told you to keep you from the gallows pole. Hangman. nice day. I only find it slips away to gray. The hours they bring me pain. Living reflections from a dream. I was her love, she was my queen. And now a thousand years between. Thinking how it used to be. Does she still remember times like these? To think of us again, and I do.
That track was called Tangerine. It was actually written by Jimmy Page himself, all alone. What a big boy. When he was back in 60, when he was still in the Yardbirds. So something a bit there. So it's the only song on the album without lyrics written by Robert Plant. The thing that's interesting to me about the previous song, Gallows Pole, is that first you can tell that the song is old because the lyrics literally date back to when you could quite literally pay your way out of a death sentence. If somebody came and had enough money to pay, to bring to the hangman, you could actually be let off. It might've been a child ballad. I'm not positive of that, which would mean that it had English roots. Wouldn't surprise me because that type of thing would seem as if it would date back to like more like English society than American society. And it might've just come over on the boat and then ended up in Appalachia, which is where Leadbelly would have picked it up. And isn't it funny how that stuff goes around and what goes around comes around? From England to Appalachia, from Appalachia back to England with Led Zeppelin, and then from Led Zeppelin back to the youth in America. Who get it? It's a nutty little
it's
cycle.
It's a roundabout way to get there.
This next track is called That's the Way, and I think that this is a bit of a step for the band, too. Here you hear Robert Plant being able to put together some lyrics that are a little bit more mature, a little bit more well thought out than the normally, like, you know, squeeze my lemon, baby sort of thing that they were doing on the first two albums. As I said, it's called That's the Way on 90.3 WHPC.
I don't know how I'm gonna tell you. I can't play with you no more. I don't know how I'm gonna do what mama told me. My friend, the boy next door. by the river, and weren't those tears that filled your eyes? And all the fish that lay in dirty water dying, had they got you hypnotized? But all that lives is born to die. And so I say to you that nothing really matters, and all you do is stand and cry. And that what you see is that the way it all stays. That's the way, that's the way it ought to be. Oh, don't you know that? Mama say, that's the way it's gonna stay. Oh,
That song sounds an awful lot like Jack and Meg White, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it sound like the White Stripes?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, I just picked up on that. That's track is called Brony Hour Stomp, which is named after the place where the house where they were doing the songwriting in Wales. Let's see. I want to mention also, coming up after our show, Zach Turkel will be doing his normal Billboard anniversary chart focus, and he'll be choosing the year 1982. So stay tuned for some pretty cool pop music from Zach coming up at 6. I also want to mention that if you like our show, if you're new to us, we do all these shows. We post them all on our website. So please check it out. I'd really be privileged and proud if you did. It's just search on the internet for AmericanHitNetwork.com or just search for American Hit Radio, like the name of our show. It comes up either way. And you'll see we've got this is album 109. Well, the other 108 are listed there. So you can hear us talking about 108 pop albums or about 98, almost 100 albums of non-top 40 stuff, too. So they're all posted there. So check them out. And let's see. Finally, we got one more song left from the album. The track that ends it is called Hats Off to Harper, or Hats Off to Roy Harper, who was a friend of the band, the folk singer that they knew around that time. The name is itself a bit of a goof, though, because the truth is it's a song that was written by Bucca White called Shake 'Em On Down. They just gave it a new name, and then they credited it as arranged by Charles Obscure. Typical Zeppelin weirdness. Eventually, like I said, all that blue stuff got uncovered. Everybody figured this stuff out. But back in 1970, it was amazing what you'd be able to get away with. But here is either Bucca White's Shake 'Em On Down or Led Zeppelin's or Charles Obscure's Hats Off to Harper, which ends the album Led Zeppelin 3. Take care, folks. Hope you can join us again on Friday as we cover The Who. And of course, we'll be back next Wednesday with another album pick on 90.3 WHPC. When I done quit the holiday, babe, I believe I should have known then. Give me, baby, one bit of light. You'll find that I need my second light on the sun. Must I should have known then? When I done quit on it, baby, I believe I should have known then.